There's a scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When the disciples gathered and they asked Jesus, how should we pray? He gave them an example. He didn't give them a prayer. Men took it and made it into a prayer. When you and I harmonize with Him and with His Spirit, it's not me babbling off at the mouth about all the things and the list of goodies that I need, but it's enjoying His presence and letting Him renew my inner man so that my inner man can be empowered to change my outer man. When Adam and Eve chose to let the outer man rule the inner man, the lights went out and darkness came in. When Jesus came full of light, He exposed the darkness. Causing volcanic eruptions from within. When I was born again, the volcano came alive, and all hell broke loose. Rumblings had been going on for a long time. When He baptized me in the Holy Ghost 10 years later, the fire came spewing out. And it caused another level of eruptions. And a few years later, I learned to enter in and to take time with Him. And my mouth became less useful. And the complaint department was closed. And the praise and the worship began to come forth out of my heart. I had to make a choice to shut down the complaint department. It was not easy. I'm not trying to make it easy and swift and sweet. I'm trying to give you truth. How many felt His presence when you literally realized that the glory that He wants to release is inside of this tent. He wants to glorify his sons and his daughters. Romans 2:7. Seek for immortality. Seek for immortality. Nobody talks about seeking for immortality. Everybody wants to die and go home and escape. What does it mean to you to seek to be glorified? How many tasted a little tiny bit of his glory this morning as we allowed him to enter in? What does it do inside, Elaine? Again, please. It transforms you from the inside out. I remember a few weeks back you told us that God had spoken to you a word, and if it wouldn't have been for that word, you wouldn't have made it. That word didn't bring just you to life. It gave life to others as well, because you shared it. Rita, what happens when his glory starts being poured into the inner man inside of you?
He tells
me
to write it down.
He tells you to write it down. Okay. Why would it be important to write things down, Rita?
Because I don't have a memory. And I feel it's unnecessary to write it down because I'm to give it out. And the Lord showed me after that anybody that asks for those words, they're meant for them too.
Amen.
So I do write them down for the people that ask.
Victor, what's the fruit of you releasing yourself to let the glory come in? What's different about this Thursday morning compared to a week ago Thursday? Same time, same slot. This moment, 5 minutes of 12, what's the difference between you right now? Peace. Who said, "My peace I give unto you"? How does he give it? Is it when I'm ranting and raving about how much God didn't do for me? Or is it when I quietly sit myself down and let his glory fill me? It's up to me. Why did Jesus go to the mountain to pray? Because everywhere else it was too busy. Linda, what happens when the glory comes? Tell us what's happening. Nice and loud, honey, because we won't be able to hear. The peace. You can feel your spirit. Lift it up. Bubbly. You had a vision. Nice.
I saw a bridge.
Yes.
I was raising more flowers.
Yes.
And I saw a little child going over the bridge. Jesus is at one end with his arms out, so the child's laughing and going with him, but then the child runs back the other way, and Jesus is at the other end of the bridge, too. And so the child kept going back and forth to Jesus this way.
But amen.
I felt like I was doing.
Good. Excellent. Gail?
I'm alive. I'm complete.
Yep.
I'm changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things that could matter or did matter don't matter. They're not important.
Uh-huh.
Because I have, again, the peace. Connection.
Connection. I like it. And his love has an opportunity to penetrate the inner man.
I stopped by my daughter's house this morning. The lady who lives downstairs came out. She was part of the Bethany presentation. She happened to give me the name of this year's presentation. He came to love.
He came to love. Yes.
And you didn't ask last night for visions.
No.
I kept getting a vision of the bridge in Boston, the new bridge in Boston.
Yes.
With those great people.
Yes.
And I said, why am I seeing this bridge? All I was seeing was the wires. And I said, it looks like a canopy. He said, why didn't you just show me a canopy? Because of the strength and the power in the canopy of that bridge.
Yes.
Came to me.
Right.
So much more.
That's the support system that keeps it in one piece.
Exactly. That's right.
All right. Sweetie.
Down four things.
All right.
And some of it's a duplication, but like Rita, I need to write these down so I don't forget them. But I felt hopeful.
Yes.
Grateful.
Yes.
Blameless.
Blameless.
And then, as these emotions came to me, I realized I felt unencumbered.
Wow.
I don't know where that came from, but that's...
Came from him?
I know it was. I was not expecting that feeling of being unencumbered.
Uh-huh.
Free.
I like it. Freedom. Okay, do you see the diversified ways that he's touching his people? In just a simple act of rest. And what he does inside of us, sometimes we can't talk about it. So I understand. I'm not ready to open it up because it's too personal. It's not digested yet. Amen? It's just not, and I'm not ready. And there were times that the Lord shows me things and... I'm not going to go into the details, but there are some people that have tasted of this, and there's a harmony between us that we can go into and release some information, but sometimes we just can't open it up to everybody because we're not ready, and it's perfectly okay. So, what happens with me is it's different every time. It's never the same. I always hunger for more, but it's never the same. I'm blessed that Bob got words because those words are not just for him. They're for us.
Thank you.
And, you know, sometimes we say, wow.
I can hear what he said. That noise back there.
The heater is irritating, huh?
I couldn't hear.
Would you repeat those words, my friend?
Loud.
Hopeful. Grateful. Blameless. And unencumbered.
Ah. Well, I went to the Lord again this morning, and I do every day, but sometimes I have a little more time than others. And this morning he took me to the second letter of Peter. So I'd like you to go to 2 Peter. And
before I forget, you did tell me to say something to Victor. Perfect love cast out fear.
Okay. First area that I'd like to kind of give you insight is chapter 3 talks about the day of the Lord. He says, verse 1, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." So the writings of the words are to stimulate me and you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given to our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand, in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. I will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. "Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of waters and by waters. By these waters, also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." So the last days are going to be a time of destruction of ungodly men. Verse 8, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like a day." One day. I would like you to make sure that you put a circle around that area, because that's going to be one of the things that's going to hopefully be talked about by our brother when he comes tomorrow. Because he's going to be talking to you about the third day. He's going to be discussing the reality that we've had 2 days of a thousand years since Jesus went home to be with the Father. Yet, he released his spirit in the earth. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance or a change of heart. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Which earth? This earth. This temple. This flesh. Because it was out of flesh that you and I were made. But we're going to be changed by fire. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So can I help God to manifest inside of me? Yes. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with the heat. Earlier, I was describing to you my inner man as a volcano. I can remember so being full of anger that everything inside of me would shake. Because I was so angry. Anger had control of my mouth and my heart. I didn't see it, but others could see it. How many have ever seen anger inside of them? Okay. If you're aware of it, isn't Jesus aware of it too? Isn't he able to handle it? I told him, I can't handle it, Lord. It's too big. And you know what? He brought all kinds of circumstances into my life to let me see, and I would repent. Because that's what this repentance is all about here in a few verses earlier. Changing my mind, changing my attitude, changing the way I thought. It took me time. And you need to have time. Be patient with yourself. How many have lost patience with themselves once in a while? Thank you. Don't do that. Yes, my friend.
Think of a volcano. Think of a volcano erupting.
Yes.
But a volcano can also be at rest.
Yes.
Or inactive.
Amen.
Much like we can.
Exactly.
In fact, most volcanoes are probably
dormant.
Inactive time than they have eruption time.
Amen. Got it? Good ideology. Thank you. Or ideology. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, which is a new way of thinking, and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Now, if you take this to mean the whole earth, I believe that as the saints of God become full of the presence of the Lord, this whole earth, Romans 8, even the animal kingdom, is going to taste of the glory of the Lord. Because the sons of God will be ruling and reigning in the earth. Amen? Verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Now, there was one common denominator from your words about being under the anointing and letting the glory go inside of you. Peace. If it wasn't spoken, it was implied. Verse 15. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also writes you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking of them, of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. As they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. How many have ever felt they'd like to straighten somebody out because they're teaching the word the wrong way? Now it seems to me that if you get meddling, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Who is going to self-destruct? They will. Your job is to just intercede. Now, he's also talking about the letters of Paul are hard to understand. If Peter had a hard time with them, if Peter had a hard time with them, that doesn't, you know, disqualify Peter. It just says some of them are hard to understand. Why? Because Paul's revelation are another level. Last night we spoke about El Elyon, the Most High. Many of the men and women of God never tasted of his reality. And Jesus brought us into a face-to-face encounter with this lover. He came not to judge. He came to save. And he came to love. And to express his love. He showed what he was willing to do. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the errors of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Are you able to fall? Yes. There's a warning there. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. Now, understand something. Many, many times we comprehend God in a way that we have a, I call it a religious background, a religious view. The scriptures will erase a great deal of that. Because the scriptures are not interested in you and me forming our own opinion. They're interested in you and me gaining God's opinion of what he is and who he is. And Peter is very interested in giving these people the truth. So go back to verse 1 of chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ has received a faith as precious as ours. So faith is a gift. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life. So if you're missing something, he's got it. The godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So what? The promises are great and they're precious, and they will release the divine nature into you and escape the corruption. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. Doesn't that sound like James chapter 1 to you? Yeah. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Notice it's progressive. And it goes higher and higher and higher, one step at a time. That's quite a staircase, isn't it? Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that's the trigger, isn't it? It's going to start off like a seed, and it's going to grow. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. If you and I take for granted that your lifestyle can be changed if you forget that God already cleansed you, those mindsets of guilt, condemnation, self-condemnation will erase that Jesus already took the cross and he took your sin on that cross. You know, I can remember looking forward to Holy Thursday. Because in my religious background, that was the time that you could connect a little tiny bit more. Good Friday was a little bit more. Holy Saturday was the time that you could rebuke the enemy. I only did it once a year. I found out later I could do it whenever he started to hang around, but I didn't know that. And it was so ritualistic that I did it out of orchestration. Okay? And I'm not picking on my background, I'm not picking on God's plan. I am just trying to tell you that's where I was. We have many that are still there. Do we drop them? Absolutely not. We love them. Okay? But I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me one day, Kim, I want you to say the Lord's Prayer. And I happened to mention that earlier. And I began to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he says, wait a minute. You're not singing a song like you were when you were in third grade. Well, I said, Lord, that's the only way I'm going to remember it. So he said, well, change the words. Well, I thought that was illegal. Changing the words to the Lord's Prayer? Whoa, man, that's... Lord, is that cost possibly you? So he jolted me. He said, personalize it. Personalize the Lord's Prayer? Whoa. So I tried. My Father who is in heaven, and I forgot the next level. So I went back to my sing song. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, okay. So then I started again. My Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Oh, yeah. Let your kingdom come in me, Lord. Let your will be done in me. So then it became a reality that God was no longer telling me to recite a formula like 4 times 4 is 16. Right? You learned your timetables with sing song? Yeah, I did. How many learned their timetables with sing song? Okay. How many learned their Our Father with sing song? Well, there you go. So now he's telling me grow up. Okay? So this is the same thing. We can grow in these gifts that he's given us, and they start off in seed form. How do I make it happen? By going to him. I don't know which corners he needs to adjust in each and every one of you, but the Holy Spirit knows you inside out. Inside your spirit is the real you. The wholeness of who you are is all contained inside your spirit. Even your eternal experience with God before you left the heavens and were released into this earth, Jeremiah 1. The giftings and the callings of who you are, all invested in your spirit before you entered this realm. So you say, well, what am I all about? I don't know what to do. Hey! Shut up a little while and let him open you up. The Lord showed me I was closed up like a clam in my spirit. I just didn't want to peek inside. I remember the very first time he showed me, because I was nosy enough to say, okay, God, Where was I and what was I doing in the heavens? I was in Washington State at the time. And I dared to ask God, what was I? Who was I? Who am I? What was I doing in the heavens before I entered this realm? You say, scripture and verse, Kim. Psalm 139. He ordained the days that you're to enter and live in this realm. If you get nosy enough, he'll definitely answer you. And I was nosy that time. I was in Spokane, Washington, and I can remember saying this prayer, and I said, God, I want to know. Well, the anointing came, and the orchestration of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God was so awesome, and all of a sudden, it was like Holy Ghost thunder actually shook the building. And as this intenseness of the moment, God opened my spiritual eyes, and I began to see, and I saw the throne room of the Lord. I only saw the bottom part. I knew it was the throne room. I saw the steps. I saw the perception of the throne. And I said, oh my God, oh my God. And then I saw, and what it looked like to me was a lot of the World War II advertisements of Hitler's army, like they were all in regimented forms, you know, like little blocks of men and little blocks of men, I mean, with all of them having a banner, okay? And that's what I saw. And then I knew where I was. I saw a group of people. Now, I have no idea how many people were in that grouping, but it was like this, and it was like an aisle in between, an aisle in the front. And I was on the corner, and I had a banner. And I said, oh my God. And I began to weep because it left. It was gone. Several years later, the Lord reminded me at my son's graduation from basic training. Guess where he was? Right-hand corner of his group with his banner. And I wept for another couple of days because it was just, oh my God. Now I saw it in the natural with my son standing there. And I saw that I was leading a group. Because the guy who has the banner leads. That's all I know about me. But I know that much. And I'm hoping that I'm going to get you hungry. To get to know who you really are. Because if you get to know who you are, you'll get to know where you're going to be restored to. That which I was, I will restore. Jesus is praying, Father, give me back what I had. Is it any different for you and me? Absolutely not. And you say, I don't know what I'm for. I have no idea. Get with the act. If you get with him, he'll tell you. He'll reveal it to you. Get hungry. Yes, dear.
I'm glad you shared that, because my grandson the other day said, God showed me what I was in heaven before I came down here.
Good.
He had never really thought about being, you know, existing in heaven before
yes.
He came down to earth. And you mentioned this, but he wanted you to explain it, and I couldn't explain it to him.
Well, it's not that complicated.
We did have existence.
Yes. Yes, we did. And Jeremiah chapter 1 will tell you right there. Before you were entering in your mother's womb, I knew you. I made you a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah. Okay. Well, who are you? Who am I?
Yeah. Get nosy. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Get nosy. Okay. Verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Did you hear that? Peter's telling you. Make all the more eager to make your calling. What is your calling? To become what you were. An election sure. To be elected is to be called, chosen, and then elected.
We talked about that the other day. For if you do these things, you will never fail or fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory. As long as I live in the tent of this body. What is he talking about? He's talking about his brain. Is he talking about the reality of who he really is? He's talking about his spirit and his soul, mind, will, and emotions, coordinated together, the very inner part of him. I live in a tent of this body because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So the Lord is able to tell you when it's time for you to go home. My brother went home last year. God had spoken to his heart. When my dad went home years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm going to take him home. My unbelief button was about 40 feet long. I didn't want to know. I wanted to make that whole revelation go away. But the closer I got to June 16th, the more I was convinced that God had prepared me and was preparing me for his release. Verse 15, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Wow. That which you are writing down will be for your... My God, are you guys asleep? For your posterity. I've got a stack of notes as to all of the experiences that I have experienced with God. I can go back to the day and the hour, and I can relate what was happening at that time. That particular revelation that I shared with you was done in Spokane, Washington. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. But if I forget, I remember the next morning, the Lord said to me, make a diagram so you won't forget. So I made a diagram, and I'm not a perfect artist, but I made an art, like a wall. And it looked to me like it was made out of blocks of stones, and then the steps. And I made that so that I would never forget. And I made the little people and the corner, the right-hand corner, and I knew, and a little flag. And you know what? That vision is sealed into my memory bank. It's not amongst those that I want God to erase. He will erase the bad stuff so that I'll forget. Because that part of me has died. Crucified with Christ. The new is the reality of who I am in the Spirit. We did not follow cleverly invented theories or stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power and coming. The power and coming. I want you to keep that in heart, because there's a reason that I'm stressing that, because there's going to be more teaching in that area. I'm positive. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God. He received honor and glory from God. Therefore, I can receive... Come on. I can receive honor and glory from God. Is that the truth? Is God looking to glorify and put honor inside of me? Is that what it says? I could go back and read you Romans 2:7. Seek immortality, honor, and glory. connect it. Connect the reality that God wants to pour in His honor, His glory, His immortality inside of you. He wants to. He won't do it unless you ask. You have not because you ask not. Get nosy. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from him to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. Confirmations are necessary. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises inside my heart. Amen? Above all, you must understand that no prophecy or scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, when you write, you need to be carried along by the same Holy Spirit. I believe you got what God showed me. I believe that the Lord will build on this because I can see the progression. So if you will kind of close off, I want you to go to Romans chapter 2, verse 7, because otherwise you're going to say, "Wait a minute, you quoted it. What about if you didn't say it my way?" Well, your Bible may be just a smite different, but it'll say the same thing. Nice and loud, Gail.
To those who by patient persistence in well-doing, springing from piety, seek unseen but sure glory and honor and the eternal blessedness of immortality, he will give eternal life.
Okay, who has something different? NIV. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Who's got something different?
Well, you have Romans 8, 1.
No, Romans 2, 7. I quoted Romans 8 because of sons of God, but Rita, what does yours say? Elaine, read it. Same as... Okay, so it's the same as Linda's. Jen, NIV? Bob? Go ahead.
It's those who by patient persistence and well-doing, springing from piety, seek unseen but sure glory and honor, and the eternal blessedness of immortality, he will give eternal life.
So it's for those who seek, right? If you never get nosy with the things of God, God will think you're not interested. Oh. I'll close there. Yes.
It's just like a confirmation. I was reading the Lord led me to Psalm 107 this morning.
Yes.
And I personalized it. And
you did.
Yeah, and part of it was saying where he satisfies the thirsty. We're talking about being thirsty.
Thirsty and hungry, yeah.
So that he takes you out of the darkness and gloom, and you were saying...
Amen. Good news. And would you stand, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Because the only one that can create hunger
Because the only one that can create hunger
inside of me,
inside of me
is you, Lord.
Is you, Lord.
Have your way with me.
Have your way.
And pour in. That hunger.
That hunger.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Share some heart with you.